daf is daf mem vav, and we're holding right at the beginning. Find on the helik eferek shor shenagach et hapara v'nimtza ubra b'tzida v'en yadua imat shelo negacha yalada im shenagacha yalada. So we have over here a male shor that gores a cow that had been pregnant. At this point, we find that the embryo was already ejected. Now it's not clear whether this baby or dead child was actually born normally and maybe stimulated the shor to go and be nogiach as a result of the negicha. So what we do is, we definitely have no question that the poro was gored and that the full nezik, meaning chatzin nezik at the time, is due for the poro. So that we collect for it. The nezik, however, for the vlad, is mamon hamuta b'safek. This, as we'll see, is going according to Sumchus. So according to Sumchus, where there's no way to know, and this is a no-way-to-know situation, then the halakha is that you pay half of what otherwise would be due, otherwise you split it. Now in this case, what was due was Chatzi Nezek, because we're talking about a tam. Therefore, you pay Revia Nezek to the Vlad. Now the opposite case would also leave us with a suffix. Let's say we have a Pura, Shenakcha et Ashor, and the Pura was pregnant, not the shor. Now we find that after the Negicha, when we arrive at the scene, we discover that the Pura has actually delivered a Vlad. Now we're not sure. In Yadua imat shelo negacha yalada, im mishenakcha yalada. We have no idea whether the child had been born before or after the Negicha. Now if the Vlad was part of the body of the Pura at the time of the attack, then one would be able to collect out of that as well. So that if you have value in the vlad, which is needed to cover the damage, then we would be able to collect. But in this case, we're not sure, because maybe the vlad had nothing to do with the damage. Since it's mamona mutaba safek, what we do is, now what the Mishnah says is very strange, and the Gemara is going to have a couple of approaches on this, but what we do is we pay half of the nezek from the para, and revia nezek min avlad. It sounds like we're paying three quarters of the nezek. Doesn't make very much sense. How could we pay more than what was due for a ton? But this we'll see in the Gemara Zemachlokas. Om revino mishmuel, clearly the words of the Mishnah are based on the halacha of Sumchus that we saw earlier, which is mamon amutal b'safek, in cases where we cannot determine, the court cannot determine, not because of the ta'anot of the nizik and the mazik, but because of the etzim facts, the court is going to be unable to know all on its own what happened. So Sumchus says in that case, that moment on the top of safek, chokim. However, as we know, the Chachomim argue very vehemently with this, and they say, zeklal gadol badin. The most fundamental principles of dinim are that amotzi mechaviro alav araya. So wherever you're dealing with mamon, it's all very nice to say when it comes to iser, we act out of suffik, we're machmon a diraita, we're mekel on a dirabanan, but the din of mamon is that we cannot remove money from its current dispensation. So if money is in the pocket of one person, it does not go out without clear-cut proof. By the way, why phrase it so vehemently? If you're saying that, you obviously mean it to be applied, even in cases where I might otherwise have thought that this wouldn't apply. What are you talking about? Well, we're talking about a case of afilu nizik omer bari, umazik omer shema, amatzi mechaviro olav araya. Even let's say, in this case, perhaps the owner of the damaged shor was standing there, And says now to the court, look, I was there, I tell you, nobody knows, but I saw that the pregnancy was still in effect at the time of the damage, and therefore I have a right to collect. And you don't know. And the Mazik is saying Shema. Even so, now it's true, by the way, that there are cases where we say Bori v'Shem or Bori Yodav in terms of Ta'ana, and that's a Machloket Amoraim. However, as Tosis points out, that's only said in cases where the mazik has access to the data. But if the nitba doesn't have access to the data, such as here, the Nizik knows that he's going to say, well, what do I know? I mean, you claim it's that way. Maybe it isn't that way. That type of Shema is not called the Shema. The only time we say Borei V'Shema is both have equal access and they're arguing with the Tanot. If even though the Mazik was there and should have known, he's still saying Shema. And the Nizik knows that the Mazik could be Makhish and could say, you're lying, it's not true. Nonetheless, says Borei, and the Mazik says Shema, then perhaps the Taina of Borei is an indication of the truth being with the Borei, but certainly not in a case where the Nizik knows he can say whatever he wants without fear of contradiction, and there's always anybody to know otherwise. So over here, it does not get into the issues of Borei V'Shema, and therefore, when it comes to Amutzi Mechaber L'Varaya, even in a Borei V'Shema, we still say Amutzi Mechaber L'Varaya. That's why we call it a Klal Gadol. Inami, or I can tell you another case. L'Chiyodi Yitzmahar. How about a case like this? Amocher Shor L'Chaviro. So here we have a case where actually money already passed hands. Somebody has sold a shor. And this case we discussed earlier, when it's not common, it turns out that this shor is a dangerous shor, very difficult to use for plowing your field, and it's going to get you into all kinds of trouble because you're going to have to keep it being shamer. So Rab, now this guy comes along and says, look, I want my money back, take back your shor. I purchased this shor to work with. I can't have a shor that requires that level of shmir all the time. So Rav says, indeed, it's a mekach ta'ut, and his money should be given back. Where Shmuel says, the seller could say, look, I mean, what, you're telling me you need the shor to work with. When I thought you needed the shor for steaks. Now, you know, I mean, how am I supposed to know whether this is called a mekach ta'ut? He can say, I sold it to you for shkita. You want your money, then you've got to prove that it was clearly so, that it was sold for Ridya. He says, well, why is that? I mean, isn't there a chazaka that defines the nature of a sale? I mean, obviously, if a farmer is coming along and buying a shor, we understand he does not intend to turn the shor into steaks. And if, on the other hand, the butcher is there and buy a shor, we know perfectly well that he is coming to buy the shor for steaks. I mean, v'nechse, so just take a look at the situation. I mean, igavra is zavin l'mitya. I mean, what type of person is this? What type of sale would be assumed to be made? No, come on, that bothers you. I mean, what's the problem? This is a butcher who's got a farm. No, well, so fine. All right, but nirzi demei radia la radia demei nachsata la nachsata. I mean, can't we see? Is the price different for a working animal than for a pile of steaks? I mean, so why don't we see what the price is? And the truth is, we have a machlokas about whether dummim are considered to be an indication that you can rely on or not. I mean, here the Gemara seems to be saying, vai, we should definitely look at the dummim as an indication. It says, Tosfos, this is no contradiction. Because over here, the truth is there is a rov. Shvarim are not very good steak animals. A rov of shvarim are indeed sold for radia. Now, on the other hand, we have over here the fact is that the seller is muhzak. So he's a muhzak on the domim, keneged the rov. In this case, we say, in order to establish between those two items, then even those who hold it normally, domim is not a clear indication, would agree that in this case, they could be modia, whether we look at the rov or whether we look at the chazaka. This is Tosis's approach. There are other approaches to why this is not a typical case of Dami Modi. But in any event, asks the Gemara, why would we not say in this case that we have a right to look at the value? Well, clearly, look, can we please make this a laboratory case and stop asking me these kinds of questions? It's talking about a case where it's the same value. It's talking about a case where the guy is a farmer and a butcher. Forget it. It's a laboratory situation. We're simply trying to get to the essential point. The essential point being, do we say Motzibet Ravaraya? Or do we say one not to be suffering? I understand that in real life there are complications. Let's avoid the complications. So it's talking about a case of Okir Bisra. All of a sudden, value of steaks have become very valuable. And after all, Condoleezza Rice is coming to town. You know, we got a briber into allowing us to live another day. So all of a sudden, the value of steaks is what it's talking about. Ha-ha, says the book. That's what it's talking about. So then I got a good question for you. Okay? The guy says, I want my money back. So the seller says, okay, you're 100% right. I'm giving you your money back. Okay? I just did. Where? Right there. You're holding that shore. But what do you mean? That shard was paid for the value of a working shard. That's true. But stakes are the same value as a working shard, so I just gave you your money back. Enjoy. So what's the point if it's the same value? What are we discussing? You've already got your money back, right? So why can't you just say, now, of course, in order to make that question really work, we have to say that it's talking about that the seller does not have cash. Okay. Now, this is a little bit of a complication in the case. As Tosis points out, we have three different standards for payment. One of them is payment to a Baal Chov, one is payment for Nezikin, and one is payment that you owe for work that's done. So now, when it comes to Nezikin, we know that you can pay anything. We learned out from the Pasuk, as long as it's Meitav, but all Metatlin is Meitav. The guy cannot say to you, look, I'm not interested in becoming a real estate agent, give me my cash. Can't say that. That's the Chiddush HaKra. When it comes to a Baal Chov, if you have cash available, that's pay with cash. You don't have, now there's a machlokas, by the way, whether that means the original cash, in this case by the mohar, because the money I still have, I want my money back. Or even in the case where he had used the money. But by a Baal Chov, if he has cash, we expect cash. Otherwise, you can pay with less than cash. When it comes to paying for work that's done, we don't say that commodities are the equivalent in cash. There are certain situations in which it is understood that I'm the one that has to translate the value into cash in order to be able to pay you. So you cannot tell a workman, okay, here's sugi, go sell it. Fine. In this case, if we view the seller as owing him money to be a Baal Chov, so then if he had cash, he couldn't say keep the shard instead of the cash. But in a case where he doesn't have cash handy, why can't he just insist that since it's worth the same amount of money, after all, don't people say, guy owes you money? Take anything. Take garbage, but walk off with that money while you can. So therefore, if this guy tells you, okay, look, I don't have any cash, fine, then you accept the shard. So what's the point of your tviyah if the only case that the tviyah works out is where the value of stakes is the equivalent of the value of the working shard? So I don't understand the thing. Okay, again, we're talking about principles. So therefore, the discussion here is that the guy does have cash, okay? Does have cash, value is the same, and the farmer is a butcher, okay? Now, what's the halacha? That's what I'm going to talk about. South Africa is here. He's going to tell me nobody in the Dell was a butcher and a farmer. So here, Rav Amar, Hareza Mekach Ta'ut. So Rav is saying over here, this is considered to be a Mekach Ta'ut. He has a right to get the cash back. Why? Because he says, Zilbata Ruba, most cases of sales of Shvarim, Ruba the Inche, sell ashore, buy ashore for purposes of work. It's a working animal, not an eating animal. And it's Luradi who desavne, they would be buying it for working. Rishmul Amar, Yochoshi Omarlo, the Shita Machartiv, Lokava Loaz, Miran Bata Ruba. What Shmuel is saying is that since Rove indeed is a principle, but where? Yazinim Bataruba be Isura, Abubimomona, Loazinim Bataruba, rather Hamutz be Haver Olav Araya. Therefore, we're adding over here to be Miramis to Shmuel's case, Klal Gadol, that Hamutz be Haver Olav Araya, even in a case where it would be Keneged a Rove of the Eilon. Tani Nami Hafi, Shor Shinagachata Parah, Vedimtsa Ubra Betsita. Ve'eno yodea, imat shelo negacha yalada, im mishenagacha yalada, mishalem chatzim nezek lepara, v'revia nezek levlad, divrei sumchus. Indeed, the Braita makes it very clear. Our Mishnah that says that you split the money that would be owed by a tzan is only a going according to sumchus. Whereas the chachamim omrim, amotzi michaviro, alav araya. On Reb Shmuel bar Nachmini, from whence comes this klal gadol? Minayin amotzimi chaviro, alav haraya. Shneemar, mi ba'al devarim, yigash aleihem. Aha. Perfect week for us to discuss this issue. Moshe Rabbeinu, up on his way to Sinai. Anybody who's got some issues, go to Aaron, Bechur, Imachem. Go and take it to the Beis Din. So what that means, mi balvarim, somebody who's got a tviya, yagish raya aleihem. Otherwise, what do you mean, yagish aleihem? I mean, what it does mean, yagish means to bring something. What are you going to bring? So it means over here, I'm bringing my raya. Matkeh l'ravash, I understand. I need a pasuk to tell me something that any idiot knows. I mean, svara, who reads it as svara? The koyv le'kiiva, is it le'kiyasim? Obviously, if somebody's got a sore throat, he's not going to walk into the bank to get it cured. He's going to walk into the factor. So over here, if you're trying to get your money from somebody, obviously he's going to be have to be megish raya to them. I mean, this, I don't need a pasuk for that. And l'kra, the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them this, is a different halacha. The cross comes to Nachman Amar Rav Baravua. That Omer of Nachman Amar Rav Baravua, minayin, she'en yiskakin ela letoveya techila. How do we know that in cases where somebody brings suit and the other person brings a countersuit, that we always first deal with the person who brought the suit and complete that din first? Now, this is not clear what the case is. I mean, obviously, suppose a guy brings a suit and he says, Shimon owes me, Reuven, $1,000. So Shimon says, that's all very nice, except that Reuven already had took possession of my car to collect that $1,000. So what is it supposed to mean? First we'll collect $1,000 and now we'll go back to determine whether he can get his car back. Isn't it part of the same case? But so where would we say this exactly? There's a lot of different terutzim in the Rishonim as to how to view the separate elements of this case. Tosef suggests that if there's a, let's say, a raya that we know exists, Shimon says, look, there were witnesses that were there. You all know the witnesses were there. Obviously, you don't know what the witnesses will say, but you do know that these witnesses were there at the transaction and that they went overseas and they'll be back in a month. You know that. I tell you, one of the things they're going to tell you is that I gave bonds to cover this loan. So will you just wait a month? The witnesses will be here, and then we can determine the veracity of what I'm saying. There it's saying that you would have said, if not for the pasuk, it's only reasonable to wait a month. Comes on the pasuk to say that a baal davar is not mechuyev to wait a month. So that if you have rayot that you're able to bring now, of course we'll allow that to be part of the din. But in such a case, we will not put off a din. So when it's kakvi l'toveya techila, how do we know that? Shenema mi bal dvarim yikash aleihem, yagish devarav aleihem. Amri nardoi, this is not always the case, say the nardoi. Because pa'amim, there are definitely times where we're going to have to be niskakim lahanitba techila. We may have to give first ability to the nitba to be gomer his din first. Because, for instance, let's say, echidami, tekazili nechse. Let's say that because of the tviya, there are people, let's say it's a fair right now, it's a real estate fair. People have come to town, they have a 1 week window in which people will buy property. After that period, prices of property goes down precipitously because people are only here for a short period. While they are here, people know about this case. To negative. And therefore, they're holding out for a better price because they figure he's going to have to liquidate in order to be able to pay up his debt. Now, he's got another suit, according to which he will not have to liquidate. In this case, in order to prevent the loss of the money, it's not fair for us to be niskat to the toveya. We'll be niskat because of his need to the nitba, because of the fact that the value of his property is going down. So take that as a model. Other cases which would be similar, where our principle of fairness and justice is violated by the fact of the timing of the suit, clearly that we're going to take into consideration. If it's a question of mere convenience, fine. So then indeed, we go to the Toveya Techila. Continues the Mishnah. Weird, the second case in the Mishnah, very strange. Let's take a look once again just to make sure that we get it straight. The Mishnah said, V'chein para, shenakad ashor, you have a pregnant para. And we don't know. Nobody was there to watch the negliha. We come and we find that this para, boy, this is one hot woman, let me tell you. I mean, she knocked the poor shore off of his feet. The guy's sitting there bleeding and kaput. But meanwhile, the pregnant mother is no longer pregnant. And instead, there is now a child next to her. Nimtza v'lada b'tzdida. Ein yadu im ad shelo negacha yalada. Im v'shenakha yalada. We have no idea whether that child participated in the damage or not. So then, mishtalim chatzi nezek min hapara, v'rviya nezek min havlada. It's very strange. It seems to be saying we pay half of the nezek plus another quarter of the nezek, so which means that total of three quarters of the nezek. Now, there ain't no such animal as shloshet rivin nezek. You pay chatzi nezek, you pay nezek shalom. So what exactly is the Mishnah trying to say? Ask the Gemara, what? Chatzi nezek rivin nezek. I thought we're dealing with a tam, in which case palgan is going to buy shlomi. Total price should be half of the value. And how do we come out with kulei niske dechivi riva? Where do you get 100 minus a quarter? Which is what you call my aviate. How did that get here? Explain that to me. Omer Abaye, now, obviously, we're supposed to use our brains. When it says chatzi nezek, it means half of the nezek that was due. And the nezek that was due was only half a nezek. So chatzi nezek means half of the half. So it's echad mi'arba'a. When it says, on the other hand, it says a revia of the nezek, it means a revia of the nezek that was due. Because a mamon amutu b'safek, which is an eighth. So what he's going to get is, he's going to get a quarter plus an eighth. So he's going to not get his full chatzi nezek. That's what it's saying. So you're going to pay, therefore, echad mi'shmona b'nezek. Huh? Why? I mean, he paru vlad the chag. You know, I mean, isn't the case where one guy owns the paru the vlad? I mean, can't he say to him, "Look, buddy, I really don't care. You own the chatzin nezek. You work it out in your own mind, okay?" So, okinami, not shamele the bala paru. Why can't he sell the bala paru? Look, memorav shach. You got problems. Work out your own problems. Just give me my chatzin nezek and go away. Chatzin nezek avli. So clearly, Abai has got to be talking about a strange case where different people own the different parts. In other words, somebody bought the vlad in this part. So now we have two owners. Elo tricha. To par dechad, uvlad dechad. So now, each one is saying, now listen here, you can't come to me and expect me to pay you out of my animal, the entire chatzinezek. I have a partner. Here's my partner, maybe a junior partner, by the way. So the Rishonim actually say, and of course this would have to mean we prorate it, but it's not fair to say that when you have two participants, that each one should pay equally. I mean, after all, the weight of the damaging entity was significantly more of the mother than of the vlad, and so on. Okay, that's already a question. But many of the Rishonim learned that here. But what we're talking again here about quarters and eighths as theoretical. Now, obviously, when it comes to the actual adjustment, in real life, we'll adjust it. Okay, that's possible. But let's take now the abstract case, as if the vlad weighs the same thing as the mother, or as if it's irrelevant. So now, he is claiming, I have a partner. The partner is claiming, how do we know I'm a partner? Since it's moment, I'm going to the suffix. Okay. But you can't go back to the other guy who says, gentlemen, please. I mean, first prove to me that I don't have a partner. I mean, you're getting half of the value. You can't come back to me. It's different people, different owners. Typically, in the case, as Tosis points out, we did have a similar case where we did have a shita. Remember, where a shark pushes someone into a bar. If you can't collect from the shore, you would have a right to collect from the bar. Why isn't this the same case where the guy comes back to the owner of the bar and says, well, I tried to get money out of your partner, and your partner only paid me half of the half. I want the other half that you were supposed to pay me, which is now the other quarter is missing. Because in that case, as the Gemara actually said, I found my shor in your bor. So your bor did the killing. The fact that somebody pushed him in, you go deal with that, not me. And in this case, you don't have that title. You have two equal partners. Again, equal, maybe a theoretical equality, but whatever it is that we're being tovea for. So, therefore, in this case, he's stuck losing an eighth, basically. Says the Gemara now, that needs a little bit finer tuning, because, listen, you're saying that lo tzrich lepar dechad uvlad dechad, but nonetheless, the eid kadim tave lebal parat tefilan. If he first brought suit against the Baal HaParah, okay, So then, Ochi Nami, the Omalei Labal Para, Para Didach Azikatan, Havli Raya the Itachashutse. Why can't he say to the Bala Para, look, your Para damaged me, that's the only thing I know. You're claiming that there was a Shutaf. If you claim that there's a Shutaf, go prove that there was a Shutaf. I don't see any Shutaf here. So in that case, why couldn't he collect from the Para? So it must be talking about that he went ahead and was Tovea them at the same time. It was Tovea the Bala Vla Tchila. In which case, the Bala Para says, my dear sir, you cannot have it both ways. I happen to know that you brought suit against the Vlad, which means that you agree that I have a partner. Otherwise, why is the Bala Vla in court with me? So if you agree that I have a partner, you can't at the same time turn around and say, I'm going to sue you because I don't believe you had a partner. Obviously, Gilita Datra, you have now exposed your own awareness to Shutafai Italy, that I do have a partner. Therefore, we could keep the two tviot separate. I will pay half of the damages that are owed, which is 25%, and he will pay, if you can get it out of him, half. You can't get it out of him. Oh, dear, I'm so sorry. Well, of course, according to some of us, at least you get half of the half of the half. So, you know, it's something. But certainly don't come back to me. So therefore, it's even here, he could say, you are the Magaladat, the Shutvet, Eat. Others say that it actually wouldn't matter. Even if he does come to the Baal Parah first, he can still say to him, Motzi Batchele, the Amarle, Mida Yadia, the Shutvet Eatle. I know that you have a Shutaf. Why? Because, after all, the Parah had a Chazaka, that it was Mu'uberet, correct? You're trying to say now that, nonetheless, we should say, well, since now it's born, but in that case, since we now, first of all, have the fact that he's Mu'uxik in the money, plus we have the fact that there's a chazaka on the Pora, even Sunkas is made that that's not called Mu'min HaMutar B'Safek. So over there, to prove that I have a Shutaf, even Sunkas is made that I'm not to have all of our. And therefore, even though he was Tovea first, he could say the fact that I have the money in my pocket and that the shore was pregnant before the damage was caused. If you want to change those facts, go prove that they're changed. Because otherwise, I refuse to pay you what my shutef owes you. All right. On my Rava. As usual, Rava always comes back to Abaya and says, that's a lovely pirish, except for the unfortunate fact that the Mishnah says the exact opposite. So once again, says Rabbi, yes, it would be a lovely shot in the Mishnah, if not for the unfortunate fact that the Mishnah doesn't say anything about quarters and eighths. The Mishnah talks about halves and quarters, okay? So, Otu, Echad mi-harba benezek, Echad mi-shmona benezek katani, that's not in the Mishnah that I see. In my Mishnah, it says, Chatsi nezek and revia nezek katani. Stick with the information. Make the Mishnah work as it is. Elo Amar Rava, I say. That, not that we're talking about your weirdo case where one guy owes the Para, one guy owes the Vlad. It means, keep it simple. The Para and the Vlad belong to the same person. What we're saying is, if the Para is here and available, meaning that we have the ability to collect that Chatsi Nezek from the Para, fine. Mishtaler Chatsi Nezek mi Para, collect. By all means, it belongs to the same guy. But suppose the Pora isn't here. And remember, the Tom is not Mishnah El Megufa. Suppose the Pora isn't here, or the Pora's value doesn't come to that. Let's take the case where we could talk about the full issue. So make the Pora worthless, meaning it's not here at all. Okay. So let the Pora. Now we got a problem. Because remember, Tom is only Mishnah El Megufa. So the guy says over here, okay, what's the difference? I mean, so pay me out of the Vlad. Well, says the guy, the Vlad. As far as I know, the Vlad didn't do any nezek. Why should I pay out of the Vlad? That's like paying out of my bank account. I'm not mechuyav to pay you mina aliyah. No, no, says he. The Vlad was there at the time. Ah, in this case, what do we say? Mamana mutaba safek. Okay. So we'll pay you a quarter from the nezek. Exactly as the Mishnah says. Not an eighth. A quarter, half of the nezek that you're being tovea, which is the moment, which is mutal b'safek. So therefore, in that case, mishtalei revia nezek, mi havlad. Okay, now, you're saying all of this is taima de lo yadina ni havivad vada hinakri lo havi, correct? The entire structure of the Mishnah is based on our inability to determine whether the vlad was part of the nezek. But it's quite clear that if the vlad, ipshitala, the havi vlad bahada, if the vlad was together and was pregnant at the time, so then kinakra mishtalim kulei chatzinezek mivlad, you would be able to collect the entire chatzinezek from the vlad, despite the fact that the parah is not here. And this is indeed absolutely true, according to Rava. This is Rava who's saying this, and this is Rava l'shitato. Because Rava says that indeed a parah shizika, and the parah was pregnant, you could be gove mivlada. Why? Because the vlad of a mammal is part of the body of the mammal. It is not a separate entity that is in that body. And my taiga gufa, masha'enke, a non-mammal, let's say you have an ostrich that goes ahead and damages. Now you've got an ostrich egg. Can you be tovea out of the egg? No, you cannot. A tanagona chizika, enogoba mi beitzata. The ostrich was because of our dear president, obviously. But president's ostrich farm. Right, I mean, an ostrich egg already is something that one could collect from. So in that case, you're not gova from the beitza, because now it's a separate organism. My taima, pir shavi almahu. This is simply something that's excreted from its body, not part of its body. All right, now, furthermore, we all know Rava. Ein shamin lepara bifnei atzma, ulevlad bifnei atzma. Now I want you to know another thing. Going back to the first part of the Mishnah, there's two ways of looking at it. When we're saying over there, we're going to, according to Sumchus, collect half, or in a case where we do have witnesses, you'll pay the whole thing, we have a riot. But how do we look at it? Do we look at, aha, a dead vlad? How much was that vlad worth? No, that's not how we look at it. We look at how much is a paro worth pregnant, and how much is a paro worth not pregnant, having lost its pregnancy. That's how we look at it. It would not be fair to analyze it separately and say, okay, here's the damage of the para, here's a separate entity of vlad, which obviously, if we look at it as a separate entity, is going to be worth a heck of a lot more. The same thing, of course, is true of the principle of nizik and all along. You went ahead and you were mazik and aruga of famous tomatoes. Okay, so now, do you pay for the tomatoes? Or do you pay the difference in the field with that aruga or without that aruga? That was always our principle when it came to Hezek. So I say, in that case, in shami la parah bifnei atzma, or the vlad bifnei atzma, but rather, what we do is, shami la vlad al gava parah. Because imata, im iato, American, if you're not going to say that, then you are unfairly penalizing the mazik. And we're going to discuss that in a moment. Nimzata makrishata mazik. Now the same thing is true. You've cut off the hand of an eved. Okay? And what we could say is, let's look at this by asking the owner, how much would he take for a hand? All right, so here's a masochist or a guy in need of a hand transplant. He wants to cut off the hand of the eved. How much is a hand worth? That's a heck of a lot of dough. On the other hand, how much is an eved worth with a hand or without a hand is not the equivalent of how much is the hand worth. So therefore, you analyze the difference in the value of the hand. It's the same idea as cutting down one tree in an orchard or one row in a garden. And that is the principle. What kind of principle is this? To say, because if not, it's unfair to the mazik. Again, this is be kind to mazik and we. Why? I understand. I mean, idinu. I mean, if that halacha is that you pay according to the thing, so who the heck cares whether the mazik is going to suffer? So likhush mazik. Well, that's not an argument. No, I mean, obviously we're saying it's unfair in terms of the din. Because the mazik can say, the omalei parama abarta azikatcha, parama abarta shamina lacha. Look, I mean, you can't ask me to pay for something I didn't damage. I damaged a pregnant cow. And you're asking me to pay for a vlad. This is not the same thing. Now, pshita, para dechad uvlad dechad, getting back in a biased case where somebody had bought the interests of the vlad. Now, the question is, in that case, putting it back into the value of the reisha when the para was pregnant, let us recognize that pregnancy incorporates a couple of issues. There's the value of the vlad, obviously, which somebody would buy. So you could say, all right, I'm selling the value of the vlad, which maybe is worth, let's say, 10% of the para, and now I lost that. That's great, that's clear. But there's other issues. One issue is, a pregnant para looks a lot fatter, and is a lot fatter. It looks a lot fatter because it's bigger, and it is a lot fatter because it puts on weight during the pregnancy. Now, is that part of the pregnancy, and therefore actually belongs to the owner of the vlad, or is that part of the para? So therefore, I say like this. If we're talking about pitna, we're talking about the additional weight in terms of actual fat, obviously that doesn't belong to the vlad. That's part of the mother, and that is paid to the bala para. Because again, remember, we're going to be looking at the difference between the pregnant para and the postpartum para, which means the loss of the vlad, the loss of the additional weight, and the loss of the additional size, which was also quite impressive. But my question is, how about that size? Nafkamai. I mean, there's elements there which it's pure vlad, but obviously the body of the para has had to swell in order to accommodate the vlad. So how do we analyze that additional value? Rav Papa Amar Lebal Para, Rav Achabrei the Ravik Amar Cholkin. Cholkin not because it's a suffix, but Cholkin because both participate in that additional size. The Elchata Cholkin. So again, things are never simple. Even when we're analyzing the difference in the value, if we've got to talk about belonging to two different people, we're going to have to separate very clearly the elements that are different in value pre and post. Shor shenagachat hapara v'nimtza ubra v'tzidah v'in yodua. Im ad shelo negacha yalada, im ishenagacha yalada, mishalem chatzi nezik lepora v'revei nezik levlad. V'chein, para shenagacha et ashor, v'nimtza v'lada v'tzidah v'in yodua, im ad shelo negacha yalada, im ishenagacha yalada, mishalem chatzi nezik min hapara, v'revei nezik min avlad. Om Rav Yonah Mishmu, Zu Devri Sumchis, Yomar Mamana Mutab Zafek Chokin. Aval, Kakamim Omrim, Ze Klal Gadol Badin, Amotzi Michavero, Alav Haraaya. And what is the importance of saying Ze Klal Gadol Badin? Itzrech, Afilu Nizek Omer Bori, Umazik Omer Shema, nonetheless Amotzi Michavero Alav Haraaya, or it may be addressing Shmuel's approach in the following. Inami, Lechiyad Yitmar, Hamocher Shor Lechavero. ונמצא נקחן, רב אומר איזה מקח טעות. ושמואל אומר, יכול שיאמר לו, לשחיטה מחרטיב לך. עמי, ונכסה יגב את הזו ולרדיו, יגב את הזו ולרסקת. כמה פתמן לא צריך בגב את הזו ולעבלה. Well, I mean, נכסה, ידמי רדיו לרדיו, ידמי נחסת ולרסקת. I told you, just keep it simple. לא צריך את אוקר ביסר וקוי בדמי רדיו. But then, if that's the case, ילך לשתלו ממיני. After all, don't people say Mimore Rashvatcha Pari Yibara? Are we now happy? So Rav Amar is a mekach ta'ud because Zilbata Ruba Ruba Din Shil Radio Dezagne. Shmuel says again, Yochoshi Omarlo Lishchita Machartiv Lacha Velo Azlina Bata Ruba because Ki Azlina Bata Ruba Bi Yisura Avu B'Mamona. Lo asin about Aruba, but rather a motzi mechaver l'varaya, and that is why the Tana mentions here klal gadol. Tani nami achi shor shenagachat hapara v'nimtzeu bra b'tzida v'en ayodea imad shelo negacha yalada mishenagacha yalada mishalem chatzi nezek lepora v'revia nezek levlad divrei sumchus whereas the chachamim oimrim a motzi mechavero l'varaya. Om Rav Shmuel ben Achmini, how do we know this? מנין למצי מחברו לראיה, שנאמר, מי בעל דברים ייגש עליהם, יגיש ראיה עליהם. מה תקיף לו רבש? ודאי אני לפסק. סבורו, תקויב לה כאיבה הזו לבעסיה. אלא קרוא לו כרב נחמן אומר רבא ברבוע. יום רב נחמן אומר רבא ברבוע, מנין שאין נזקקין אלא לטובע תחילה, שנאמר, מי בעל דברים ייגש עליהם, יגיש דבריו עליהם. If it's not fair, when it's kakilu nitbat, for instance, to kazili nachse, v'chin parashenakha et ashar, chatz nezek, v'ya nezek, I don't understand. Palka Nizka with the Bay Shlumi. How do we get 75%? Which is called a Nizka Nechi Riva. Maya Vidate. Omra Baya, what it means is, Chatzi Nezek, it means Echad Mi'arba Benezek. Revia Benezek means Echad Mishmona Benezek. So, I poru vlad echadni, no, what's the difference? Hokinam yibad sermon in a bal poru mamonavshach. Give me my chatzi nezik and leave me alone. El lo tzricha de poru de chad vlad de chad. Still, I kodem vetavi la bal poru tchila. Hokinam yom le la bal poru poru dido chazi katan. Havli raya dit lo chashu tofi. El, it's talking about kodem vetavi la bal vlad tchila. In which case, the bal poru can say, well, you apparently have already agreed. Gilita datcha. He could still be matrim and say, look, there's a chazok that was pregnant, I'm a muhzik and a maman, midi yadir the shutfa itli. Omar Rava, Otu, is that what it says? Echad mi arba benezek, echad mi shmona benezek, katani. It says chatzi nezek and revia nezek. Elo Omar Rava, liolam beporu vladechad. Ochi koma. Ita lepara b'shtam chatzinezik lepara, leta lepara, then you can only take half of the chatzinezik because you can't prove that the vlad is actually gufa. So then mishtalim revi anezik be vlad. So in other words, Rav is saying, the time of the loyadina, yavi vlad bahada kinakha, ilo avi vlad bahada. But suppose we knew, ipshita l'davi vlad bahada kinakha, then definitely you could go and collect from the vlad the whole thing that you owe, right? So mishtalim kula chatzinezik mi vlad. Why? Because this is rava latani. The yomer rava parashi izika. You cannot us be gove mi vlada. My taima, the vlad of a mammal is its body. Whereas a tarnagolet she izika eno gove mi bitzata. My taima, it's pirsha ba'alma. The yomer rava ein shamid le parabi fleatzma. Ulevlad bifneatzmo, elashamim levlad al gaf para. Because imat iata omrekain, then you're being very unfair and being makrisha tamazik. Vechena tamotse bikotea yadav dosha chavero, vechena tamotse bamazik sadesha chavero. Omle revacha breda ravla ravashi, ve idino likha shamazik. No, it's bishum di omrele. Porama abarta zikatcha, porama abarta shamin alacha. Now look. In the case of the Reisha, it's Pshita, the part of Chad v'vlad of the Chad. So then the Pitma goes to the Baal Parah. But how about the Navka? My. Rav Papa on the Baal Parah, Rav Acha, Brei Ravik, Omer, Chokin, because they both participate. V'ilchata Chokin.